And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And I'll tell you what, I'm worried about you. I am worried about my fellow Americans, and here's why. I went to an event. Now, this is an event that I had to attend because of my physical problems that I have with my body. If you're a longtime listener, you know I struggle with physical problems, and I have some other problems associated with my time in the service. So as a result of that, I spend a lot of my lifestyle talking with doctors and going to things like physical therapy and aquatic therapy and stuff like that. I do those things because I'm trying to take care of what's left of this hulk of a body, because I still have to live out my life in this body, and I don't want to be rolling around in a wheelchair in my later years. And I've seen my relatives, my older relatives, they all seem to wind up in that wheelchair, and that's not where I want to be. So one of the things that I do is I focus on my health in my lifestyle. Now, the thing that I saw that made me concerned for you was an event that I went to last week. I was attending something called an aquatic therapy session. So what is aquatic therapy? It's basically physical therapy, except you're in a pool. That's really what it is. And the rationale for being in a pool is pool water is the closest thing you can get to a weightless environment. So as a result of that, any exercises you do in the water have the least amount of resistance possible. Now, why would you want the least amount of resistance possible? Or I should say the least amount of impact on your joints. That's really what it is, because the resistance piece is actually more. If you've ever like moved your arm through a body of water, there's resistance in the waterway. So, but that resistance ironically puts less impact on your joints. I think it's because your joints are no longer in a fully gravitational system. You're in more of a weightless kind of environment. Okay, enough on the hydrology. So what happened there that made me concerned for you? I saw five other military members. Now, I still consider myself a military member. Even though I'm retired, I still consider myself a military member. There were five other military members going through this aquatic therapy session, and two of them were danger close to retirement. As a matter of fact, one of them, she told me she'll be retired in 10 days, which if I do the math real quick, I think that means by, I don't know, maybe this coming weekend, she's going to be retired from the military. She had something like a 28-year career in the military, so she spent a little bit longer than I did. And here's my concern for her. She's going to go through something called decompression. Yeah, decompression. And this is something that manifests in everybody who retires. Everybody. I don't care if you're a military or a non-military member. When you retire, when you step away from the workforce, you're going to go through something called decompression. Now, what is that? What is this decompression? Well, for a military member, and I can speak to this because I went through this, and I know my young colonel friend, because she's younger than me, she technically outranks me, but she's going to go through it too. So what is it? It's this feeling that you've lost your purpose, that you've lost your purpose. Now, a military member, if they've got their head screwed on straight, if they are focused on their mission, if they're focused on what they're supposed to do, they're going 110% all the time, focused on getting done what needs to be done so that they themselves and their unit is ready to go into combat. That's how we roll in the United States military. So you spend however long you spend in the military. Now, for me, it was 27 years. For my young colonel friend, it's going to be 28 years for her. When I left the military, all of that stuff was taken away from me. All of that operational tempo, all of that speed of life. Yeah, it's called the speed of life because you're going at 110 miles per hour. Not only are you giving 110% of all that you've got, you're moving at a pace of 110 miles per hour. And those of you in corporate America and those of you in not in corporate America that are doing other stuff, it's the same thing for you guys. It's the same thing for you guys. Now, I can't articulate exactly what you guys go through because I've never done that. I was a military guy, not a non-military guy. But I know you non-military people go through this decompression thing. So I think the best way to describe decompression is this. It's one of those experiences that you must go through that you don't want to go through. For women, maybe that's childbirth, right? Yeah, you don't want to go through that, but you know that you need to go through that because you know that on the other end of that, something good is going to happen. Obviously, you're going to have a child, and that's a beautiful thing. Let's get back on topic, though, because I don't want to talk about childbirth anymore. I want to talk about this decompression thing. Decompression, what is it? It is the closest thing to what I would consider depression that you can get without actually being depressed. Now, you may have a lot of the symptoms of depression, but the neat thing about decompression is you're eventually going to get past it. You're eventually going to get over it. It's not going to linger like depression does. So what does it feel like? What is it like going through decompression? Well, the first thing that happens to you is you feel antsy. You feel like you've got to do something, but you're not quite sure what it is, but you know you've got to do something because you've got this routine, right? You've got this routine that you've been living for the last, well, in my case, it was 27 years. My colonel friend's case, it's 28 years. We've been going through this certain routine day in and day out, day in and day out. My routine was get up at 5 a.m, work out, get cleaned up, have breakfast, get to my unit, do all the things that I needed to do in that workday, maybe get home around 7 or 8, possibly 9 o'clock at night, try and spend a little time with the family, get my 4 or 5 or 6 hours of sleep, wash, rinse, repeat. And that would happen day in and day out. Didn't happen sometimes on the weekends, but it did happen on the weekend. So, you know, it wasn't like I got every weekend off. I mean, that's just military life. So when you step away from that constant op tempo of everything going 110 miles per hour, you realize that you're feeling like you've forgotten to do something. You're feeling like you're not part of the team. Your purpose starts getting skewed because you're not sure what you need to do. Now, if you're a military retiree, they put you through something called these transition classes. In other words, they know, the people in the military know, that when you retire from the military, the odds of you being able to live off of that retirement pension are slim and none. Now, there are some people that can do it, general officers. Okay, they tend to make a lot more money than I do in retirement. And I'm not picking on general officers, but there are people that can live off the retirement income. Mrs. Gordon and I, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. The cost of living in our household was way more than the amount of money that I brought in on retirement. Now, here's the thing about military retirements that you may or may not know. When we retire from the military, we earn about 1/3 of what we used to make when we were on active duty. It has to do with how the retirement system works. It has to do with how we used to get paid and the different types of pays we were authorized as military members. So the dirty, nasty secret is when you leave the military as a military retiree, plan on living off of 1/3 to maybe 1/2 of what you were making in retirement. Some people can do it. Many people can't. I couldn't do it. My colonel friend, I don't know that she's going to be able to do it. Now, when I was talking to her about, okay, what does retirement look like to you? She was echoing everything that she heard in those retirement transition courses that I was telling you about. So what is this retirement transition course? Again, the military realizes you're not going to be able to live off of that pension. So they teach you certain things that they think you need to know in order to help you in your transition to retirement. So what kind of stuff did they teach you? Well, they teach you that maybe it's a good time to go back to school. Yeah, maybe it's a good time for you to take on more debt, get another degree, and go back to school. Now, a lot of military retirees have the GI Bill, in which case you don't have to take on the debt, but you are doing something to your time. You are putting your life on hold so that you can study something, so that you can get a degree, so that you can put your life back off of hold and get started again, right? Okay, that additional degree, depending on what degree you're trying to get, that could be a year or 4 years or 5 years. It could be a long period of time. So my Colonel friend, she's wrestling with, well, maybe I'll go back to school. Well, here's what I got to tell her. You're already smart. You're already smart. Yeah, you're smart. You've made it to the rank of colonel in the United States Army. You've commanded large units. You've had a lot of people working for you. You've had massive responsibility. Now, whether or not those skill sets transition into the private workforce very well or not, that's kind of up to the private workforce. But you're really successful. I don't necessarily think that you need to go back to school to learn a different trade, because you have a bunch of skill sets which could be transferable into the civilian economy. Now, she happened to come out of the medical field, so I happen to know what she did in the military, and I happen to know that it transfers pretty well into the civilian workforce. Yeah, so that's another thing that they taught her, was how to put a resume together, how to go out and get that resume in front of employers and try and land that job that's going to pay you the money that you need to make up the difference between what you used to make when you are on active duty and what you're making now in retirement. Yeah, that's a giant sucking sound in your checking account that you've got to deal with. You've got to deal with that giant sucking sound in your checking account, because it is a terrible sound. It's not a sound that you want. I live with that terrible sucking sound in my checking account for 10 months after I retired, and it about eviscerated me financially. Yeah, it just about eviscerated me. Now, another thing that my colonel friend, she's got to worry about, well, to be honest with you, she's got to worry about her physical fitness. She does. Because remember, where did I meet her? Aquatic therapy. Who goes to aquatic therapy? People with broken parts. Yeah, I have broken parts. She has broken parts. She was working on her broken parts. And I could tell her broken parts were bothering her, because when the guy came by and said, hey, what's your pain level at today, ma'am? She said, I'm at a 7. So she is going into retirement with a broken body, very much like I did. So one of the things that she's going to have to deal with in retirement is she's going to have to deal with trying to repair or at least minimize the negative effects of a broken body on her lifestyle. Yeah, these are the things that you need to consider. Now, I was looking at Facebook, because I don't want to just turn this into a military retiree show, and I found a post from somebody who recently retired. I'm just going to read to you what I found. This is on Facebook. It said, as soon as I retired after 43 years of being a registered nurse, my back got as worse as it could get, and my hubby got sick. The first year of retirement sucks. We don't have a lot of money, just comfortable. But I feel so lazy and depressed. Lazy and depressed. Wow. So everything that I've been telling you on the show, it impacts other people other than military people. Let's read on and see what this young lady's got to say. Well, maybe she's not a young lady after all. Maybe she's older than I am. After all, she worked 43 years as a registered nurse, and now she feels so lazy and depressed. You know what that is? That's decompression. All right, when we come back from the break, tips on how to avoid decompression. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Successful Lifestyles Unlimited member retires in 10 months.
The hardest part for me was to drop off my son, go to a job that I absolutely hated for 5 years, but know that that was a sacrifice that I needed to make, and then only be able to get to spend 2 hours with him after school before he had to go back to bed. So that's why once we started and we joined Lifestyles, we said, okay, we have a roadmap. We know what we're gonna do. And then a month later, we find out we're pregnant with baby number 2, and we're like, okay, we gotta kick it up a notch. So that's how we were able to purchase 4 different properties and replace my income in 10 months, so that whenever I finished maternity leave, I didn't have to go back to work.
I think a couple weeks before baby came out is when we closed on our fourplex, And that was enough for her not to have to go back to work.
Are you ready for your roadmap to real estate retirement? Attend the online free workshop just like Carolina did. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're talking about this concept of decompression. Now, if you've never, ever retired yourself, you've probably not experienced retirement decompression. I mean, I think that's a valid statement, don't you? I think it's a very valid statement. Those of you that have retired, you probably recognize that you went through some form of decompression after you left the workforce. I mean, because let's take a step back and let's analyze our lives for a minute. We spend our early years, our formative years, hopefully with our families and with our parents. Not all of us get that opportunity, but a lot of us do. And then we wind up in something called the educational system. The educational system, it kind of takes control of our lives, does it not? Because it starts to control what we think, how we think, how we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to study, what we're supposed to learn. And then it controls our time, not only because we have to go to school during a certain set period of time, it controls our non-school time because we have to do things like reading and studying and all these other things associated with going to school. Now, not everybody does that. A lot of people blow off that studying stuff. I get that. I understand that. But they still go to school. They still spend their lives under the control of the educational system. And it's usually a dual control system, right? You've got the educational system that's imparting whatever they want to impart on you because the parents don't necessarily have a lot of input or literally any oversight. We saw that in the pandemic. And if you don't like what I just said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it. I think it's just the way it is. The other piece of control that we experience is parental control. And if we don't have parental control, we have some other type of control. Maybe we're a ward of the state, or maybe we're the ward of grandparents or something. I guess that'd be parental control, wouldn't it? It would be parental control. So the point I'm trying to make is that even though you think you're free and you can come and go and do things as you please before the age of 18, you can't. You can't because you're also considered a minor. Yeah, so there's legal controls over you too. All right, so then you get to the age of 18, you graduate high school, right? You maybe you leave the household. Maybe mom and dad tell you you have to leave. Maybe you voluntarily leave, but eventually you leave. And where do you go? Well, you either go to college or you go into the workforce, right? In which case, in either scenario, you're giving up control over your life. You're giving up control to another educational institution, or you're giving up control to an employer, which in either of those just replaces the educational piece that you left. Does that make sense? Okay, so now you're still under the control of somebody or something else. And then let's say you went to college and you graduated college. So what did you do? Well, you did what everybody else did that didn't go to college. You got into the workforce. Now you're in the workforce like everybody else. Now you're spending what, 30, 40, 50 years trading time for money to get to a place called retirement, right? And some of you are laser focused on retirement. Some of you, retirement is just like, it's a pipe dream, man. It's like, I'm not even 40 yet. Why do I have to worry about that? And I will tell you, if you got that attitude, you've already got a problem, especially if you're following the conventional plan. Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is once you get through that lifetime of working, and there's all kinds of ups and downs that are going to occur during that lifetime of working. Oh, and by the way, you may decide to have your own family, in which case now you're putting more controls on your life because you have to have responsibility for a family. And oh, by the way, you get to control other people's lives. Yeah, yeah, you do. Yeah, your children, not your wife or your husband, but your children, because we know the spouse is in control of us, right? Okay, we know that. Okay, let's move on. You get to retirement. You're typical retirement age. Let's say it's 65. I'm not 65. I'm retired. I'm not 65. I'll tell you how I did in a minute. But let's say you're 65 and you're retired. Now what? You're worn out. You haven't even given retirement a second thought. You have been so focused on a lifelong career, doing whatever you've been doing to trade time for money, meeting deadlines and commitments, doing what other people tell you to do, taking your vacation when you're told you can take your vacation, if you're told you can take a vacation. Yeah, some of you didn't get vacation. I know that. I know you people. I've met you. I've talked to you. I get that. So you get to a point in your life where you finally leave the employment lifestyle, and now you have a retirement lifestyle, and you don't know what to do. You are losing your mind. You're losing your mind. You are going through decompression, but you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing. You wake up in the morning like you're supposed to do something, but you've got nothing to do. You go and get a cup of coffee. You wander around the kitchen looking for something to do. Oh, and here's the other thing. Now you're home all the time. And if your spouse was a homemaker like mine, now all of a sudden you're invading her space. You're invading her space because you're there all the time. You used to leave and leave her space. Now you don't leave her space. You are in her space. Yes. Yes, it could be a problem. I'm not saying it's a problem with Tina and I. We work fine in each other's spaces. But for other couples, it can be a problem. It can be a problem. So you're decompressing. Some of you are going into a form of depression. And here's the problem. What classes have you taken that have taught you how to be retired? Yeah, they didn't teach me that in the Army when I left the Army. That was not one of the subcourses. How to enjoy retirement. No, they never offered that because they don't think that you can actually retire from the military and be fully retired. Yeah, they don't. Well, they know it. They know it. They know statistically that you're not making enough money to meet the expectations of your household. And as a result of that, they put you through all the transition courseware that I talked to you about earlier in the show. Same retirement courseware that my young colonel friend is going through. There's no course on how to enjoy your retirement. That's why you have to become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Yeah, Lifestyles Unlimited is all about teaching you about how to be retired. It's all about teaching you how to be retired. Now, we don't offer classes on how to schedule a cruise or how to go fishing with your buddies down to the coast. No, we don't offer courses like that, but we teach you about retirement. And one of the ways we teach you about retirement is we give you the opportunity to hang out with people that are, get this, retired. Yeah, so now as you go through this process with people that are already retired, you start to understand what a retired life looks like. Retirement is a destination that you need to plan for. It is like going on a cruise that never ends. It's like going on a vacation that never ends. Now, Franklin sent me a question. With insurance being a source to use for funding your investments, do you know of someone who can make liquidity out of SGLI, which stands for Servicemen's Group Life Insurance, for active service personnel? And I responded back and I said, "Hi, Franklin. Unfortunately, SGLI, it doesn't have a cash component. Only whole life policies, at least as far as I'm aware of. Now, if you're one of those financial planner guys or one of those insurance guys out there and you know more about this, feel free to shoot me that email at askal@luinc.com and I'll be more than happy to clear this up. I hate to break to you, Franklin, but that SGLI is not going to be a source for you to tap into. Now, if you have a TSP account, a thrift savings plan account, there are vendors at Lifestyles Unlimited that you can talk to that can help you possibly tap into those accounts. In other words, that is an account. It's like a 401k. And because it's like a 401k, it can be tapped into. They can pull the money out without penalty. Now, you'd still have to pay any taxes, but you could pull out the money without penalty. I'm not saying you absolutely can. I'm not the smart person on that, but we have smart people that can help you with that, Franklin. So hopefully that helped you out. Now, I've got another question. This one came in from Alejandro. Alejandro said, would it be wise for me to pull cash out of my existing home to invest in rental property, a rental property or two? Sincerely, Alejandro. And I said, well, Alejandro, the numbers, they have to make sense. Whenever you buy, whatever you buy, as far as rental property, it must provide a better return on investment than the cost of refinancing your property and the difference in your monthly payments. So when you refinance, your monthly payments are going to go up. It's going to cost you more to live there because you're going to have a higher debt on the property, but you will have access to cash and you'll be able to take that cash and buy assets with it. If you do it correctly, everything should work out just fine. If you do it incorrectly, it will not work out just fine. So make sure you understand your numbers and then do what you need to do. Now, I got another question that came in from Jason. This is kind of a long question. Let me just give you the highlights here. Big time fan of the show, fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member. Often hear you interview real estate investors that have wrecked their careers with real estate. So yeah, Jason, you definitely listen to my show because I'm always talking about people that wreck their careers because I think it's okay to wreck your careers. It says, I certainly want to do this and I feel the time might be right. I would like to lay out my situation if you have time. Love your opinion. Here's my scenario. Bottom line is he's got dead equity in his principal residence. He estimates that he has about $153,000 of dead equity in his principal residence. What does that mean? Well, it means that the home that he owns is worth about $365,000. He has a balance that he owes of about $173,000, meaning he could tap into $192,000 worth of equity and he could easily pull at least, I don't know, a lot out of his principal home and he could invest it. Now, Jason, I have to go back to Alejandro's response. Same concept here. Same concept. If the numbers make sense, you should consider doing it. If the numbers don't make sense, don't consider doing it. Fair enough? Okay. Now he also has a rental. Oh, interesting. This rental that he has, it's actually over in a part of San Antonio that I like. I've owned a couple properties over there and I'm looking to get some more. I like that area a lot. Here's the problem with that property. He's owned it for 5 years. He's owned it for 5 years and he's got about $100,000 of equity in it. Okay. Jason, you already know the answer because you're a Lifestyles Unlimited member. You have dead equity in that asset. You have three choices. One, do nothing, in which case that's a terrible choice. Two, refinance the property, take money out. It will affect your cash flow, but you will have cash and you won't be subject to any capital gains taxes because you did not transact that property. But now keep in mind, you've owned that property for 5 years and you've already taken 5 years worth of depreciation on that asset. I'm not saying that's bad, but that's something you need to take into consideration if you do decide to sell or not sell the property. The other thing you can do is sell the property. Go ahead and sell it. Sell the property, harvest all the money, harvest that $100,000 and go out and buy three or four properties to replace it. You'll have better cash flow and now you'll have multiple properties that are, well, going up in value through natural appreciation. So whereas when one goes up in value, three or four go up in value also. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you, Jason. Oh, and here's the other thing. Jason, you still have a 401k. What's the matter with you? I'm just teasing you, Jason. Okay, so he says he's got a 401k. He's got about $153,000 in get this. And he says, and it's going downhill. Yes, Jason, it's going downhill. I'm looking at a stock chart, and I'm not real happy with what the stock chart is showing. So your options for your 401k are real simple. One, write it out. Two, decide not to write it out, and you want to liquidate it. If you decide to liquidate it, again, talk with one of our Lifestyles Unlimited vendors that has a specialty in this area. They can probably assist you with avoiding the 10% penalty if you're not 59 and a half. And you're still going to pay the taxes. You're going to pay the taxes whether you take it out today or you take it out in the next 10 years. You're still going to be liable for those taxes. But when you think about it, if I remember his numbers right, he's got well over $100,000 in there. Oh, yeah, $153,000, he says. So, you know, even if you pay 5% in costs for, it's not even 5%, it's less than 5% for the cost of avoiding the penalty, you're still doing well. So you should avoid the penalty. That's Al's opinion. And that's pretty much a Lifestyles Unlimited opinion too. So Jason, you've got a lot of money here. Now, one of the questions you have is whether or not maybe you should get involved with multifamily. You've been listening to Del Walmsley talking about how he can take about $400,000 and he can buy an IRO and he can make about $10,000 a month. You could do the same thing. But if you're going to be an IRO, keep in mind, you're probably going to be working a little bit harder than somebody that owns just a collection of single family properties. So maybe you also want to consider possibly just doing the single family route. And the reason I suggest the single family route is that we are seeing trends in the single family space that we haven't seen for the last 4 or 5 years. We're starting to see equity captures become larger than they've been over the last 3 or 4 years. We're starting to see cash flows getting a little bit more depressed. They are becoming a little more depressed, but we're still seeing assets out there that produce cash flows of $400 a month on average. So don't discount the single family. What I'd recommend you do, Jason, is you should consider reactivating your challenge membership. Now, Jason was a member at the challenge level. The neat thing about being a Lifestyles Unlimited member is that once you're a member, you're always a member. Yeah, it's just whether you choose to be in an active status or an inactive status. Right now, Jason is in an inactive status, and he's thinking about becoming active again. My recommendation is that he reactivate his challenge account. He get with the single family mentors, he sits with them, he works out a plan of attack, and then if it makes sense for him to go to the preferred investor group, he should join that and he should get busy. Look, for those of you looking to do what I do, what Jason does, what all of us do, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.